Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. How do you go from a successful business to buying a camper van and travelling around the country to help and support people with mental health issues? Doing just this is Lucy Scott from Lil's Parlour, who's made her business a community interest company. What is a CIC and how does it help to change a business? Well, with all the answers is the lady herself. Lucy Scott is here. Good evening, Lucy.
Good evening, Clive. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Not at all. Thank you for your time this evening. Tell me about Lil's Parlour, first of all, and what you produce, because a rumour has it it's cake.
That's
my favourite subject.
So we're a tiny little bakery. We're based in Northfield in Birmingham, and we make everything in-house from fresh ingredients that we can get our hands on. And we're also well known for our kind of 80s and 90s themed stuff. So I like to take happy memories and reproduce them into food. So we do a brownie corn dog, and we do a marshmallow taco, and we take kind of pop culture and turn it into fun treats to eat.
Oh, sounds just right up my street. How long have you been going?
So I have been running the business part-time. I started in 2012. So I was actually working as a teacher at that point when it all kind of kicked off. Then fate led me to the Great British Bake Off, where I applied for that programme and was their standby contestant.
Right.
And then I realised, you know what, I'd really like to do this for a living. So side by side with the teaching, I started to kind of get into doing cakes for a couple of cafes, bits and pieces. And before I knew it, the kind of wheels had started turning and I'd left teaching. There were other reasons I left teaching, but that was the main one. Mm. And here I still am. And at this point in time, I don't know how, but here I am. So
but you didn't get accepted into the Bake Off. They didn't need you in the end.
No. So every top secret, every series obviously has the need for a standby contestant. Mm. So you go through exactly the same process, you go through the same auditions, you go to the same set, and for the first 4 weeks you're on standby for any contestants that cut themselves, hurt themselves. You're kind of just stood there like, come on, this could be my chance. And I did that twice for 2 years, and I thought, you know what, move on. It was a brilliant experience.
Excellent. How did you manage your business though during COVID?
Oh my goodness. So it was a complicated one because a lot of food businesses had a real resurgence during COVID. Mm. They did amazingly well. I am classed as a high-risk person for one reason or another, which I'm happy to go into or not. So it was quite difficult for me. I had to work around restrictions, work to the capacity that I could while also keeping myself safe. So we did some food drives in the shop. I did loads of postal stuff. So I was posting stuff from all the way to the Scottish Highlands, down to Cornwall, Wales. People were really behind me. But I just did what I could, basically, to keep afloat, keep the business alive. Because when you've worked hard for something, nobody predicted the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you just had to kind of grab it for what it was and just keep on swimming under the water.
And I take it, though, because you're a food industry, were you not considered key workers? Because you're feeding people.
It was really tricky. So when, you know, kind of all started that, you know, that we'll all remember it. Was it March the 23rd? Nobody really knew what to do because at that point there wasn't really any guidance. So some people just decided to close. I did for a couple of weeks because there just wasn't really the guidance. And then we just kind of all worked together to decide what we could and couldn't do. I contacted my local environmental health and I said, look, I need advice, I need to know. And they were like, yes, you can, but you can't have people in the shop. Then it kind of became that you could have people in the shop. So it was all really chaotic, nearly 2 years really, of kind of pivoting, changing, just doing what you could to keep open.
Sure. Now, we've talked about you being a community, a CIC, a community interest company. Tell me about that.
So,
and how do you benefit?
Yeah, how do I benefit? So a CIC is essentially a registered company, but our profits don't go to directors or shareholders. They go back into community causes. So we can run essentially like a business, buying, selling, but any profits we make have to go into community causes. And we have a social impact statement that is monitored by the CIC Commission, audited by the CIC Commission, and they can kind of audit us on anything that they don't think is going to plan or we're not doing what we should be doing. So that's how it works, essentially. I got to the end of the pandemic. My mental health was suffering regarding just keeping going. And it got to the point where I thought, if I'm going to keep going, getting up and doing this for me is not enough anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And being a community-minded people and some of the stuff we've done in the past, I just thought, you know what? Do this, because this is going to make it a lot nicer for you to get up when you know you're doing it and fighting with all the stuff that's still going on and still changing for other people. And honestly, it's been a fantastic decision.
So what does this mean for your business now then, going forward?
So one of the main changes that we've made, I keep saying we, by the way, so if you're listening, it's actually I. This is what business people do to sound professional.
It's always the third person.
Yeah, always the third person.
It's okay.
So the biggest change that I've made so far is our bakery in Northfield is now run on a pay-as-you-can basis. So that means anybody can come to the bakery regarding their circumstances. There's a donation guide on the wall, which you can or cannot pay attention to, but essentially you can come to us now and pay whatever you can for whatever you want to take away.
And again, that's good for people who are perhaps homeless or, you know, living on the streets and just actually haven't eaten for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's where it's ideal.
I think at the moment with the cost of living crisis, I don't think you can even put people in boxes anymore who might need our service. I think there is such a broad spectrum of people now. I have people use our service that work full time, they've got families. There just isn't the money at the end of the month for nice things. And I believe for positive mental health, you've got to have something nice, even if it's just a brownie, you know, a little dopamine hit. And if that's coming to my shop and getting that is what it takes, I'm there for it. And they can take it away for nothing.
Now, talking about that, you've started the Happiness Project, haven't you? Talking about having nice things. Tell me all about that.
I have. So, like I said, during COVID, my business completely changed in regards to posting stuff to people all over the country. And I've made loads of friends, loads of contacts, loads of customers all the way from Scotland. I've even got customers in Northern Ireland, I've got customers in Cornwall, you name it, to be honest. I've actually got a map on the wall in the shop which shows you where we've posted out to. I think there's two postcode areas now that are blank, and they're really obscure. So people have always been saying to me, it's absolutely amazing what you're doing, but we'd really love it if you could come here or you could come there, and we'd support you, and we'd love for the pay as you can in other areas, of course. So the Happiness Project has been launched to work towards doing that, for getting a little van of happiness so I can take my pay as you can bake sales anywhere in the country.
Super. And you say you've got the shop, but are you able to post products out to people?
At the moment, because of the weather, and because, I'm going to be really honest, a lot of my baked goods are very butter and chocolate heavy.
Ah.
Yeah. I could post you something if you like soup.
I spot a red flag.
Yeah. So come the autumn, you know, that is definitely another income stream that we will go back to. But I think people just want to meet me. That sounds really big-headed, doesn't it? But I think I think people, after a couple of years of isolation, they're far more focused now about meeting people, about being able to have human contact again, look someone in the eye and say hello, instead of all like tap, tap, tap on a phone and Zoom, don't start me on Zoom, so over Zoom. You know, they just want human contact, and that to me is important for mental health, for mine, for other people's, and I'm there, I'm ready for it.
And I guess then that starts to build relationships up with people.
Exactly.
And then going forward, you know, who knows where it's going to lead you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dreamer, right? Let's just get it out on the table. I'm a dreamer. But I think if you dream positive dreams, you can achieve anything. When you've got someone at the helm that's passionate, that's someone that... I won't give up.
No.
I'm like a dog, I won't give up.
But why should you? You know, there's no reason to.
Exactly. And I know some, you know, there has been comments, there's been negative Nellies. Oh, it's just a cake. Well, if people can't afford it, well...
No, it's more than that.
Yeah, it's more than that.
If you deconstruct the Happiness Project that you've just talked about and the way in which the business works, then it's far more than
yeah,
cake.
It is far more than cake. And some of the DMs I get on Instagram and on Facebook of service users, customers that message me, and they just, I'm not going to name names, but they'll say things like, you don't know how much it meant to me today that I could have a milkshake, because I take the kids out all the time, all my money goes on the kids, and the fact that I could have something was just so good for me because I'm just, I give, and I've actually had something for myself and it was a lovely experience. So we're not talking massive gestures, but tiny little things build up to make someone have a good day or a good week.
And do you find then that people pay forward in the sense that where they've not been able to pay or pay the going rate for a product at that time, and they come back, they remember you on another occasion, so yeah, you know, I can now afford that.
Absolutely. Majority of our customers pay the suggested donation. Some people pay more, some people pay less. It balances out. It balances out. And there's no judgment to anyone. When people come in store, I don't actually see what they put in our app. So, it, you know, there's absolutely no judgment there. We try and make it not embarrassing, an empowering experience, because you are essentially in control of what you're paying. And how many times in our capitalist society does that actually happen? Very few.
True.
So
again, people pay via the app, but I guess if people come in person, they can pay by cash, or do you take card payments as well?
Cash,
yeah, so do all that.
So the app, I call it the app. It's my spare phone, my spare old phone with an app on it. So people pay using that. They just tap their card and then they can bring cash. You know, some people bring change, but it is perfectly acceptable to come in and say, can I have £5 change, please? We're not going to question that.
No.
If you give me £5 and ask for £4.99 change, we're going to give you £4.99 change, and there is absolutely no judgment on that.
No, fair enough. Now, anybody around here will tell you I can be bought with tea, biscuits and cake. Talk to me about some of the cakes that you make.
So I like to make things. I've got a theory in life, right? If you're going to have a cake, make it a good one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no point going half on a cake. So I like to make things in stacks with lots of layers. Our brownie recipe has been, I actually got approached once for somebody who was going to, wanted to pay a lot of money for the brownie recipe, but it was, I'm like, no, you're not having it.
No.
So my brownies are really popular because they are 75% chocolate and butter.
Perfect.
Someone once said it was like the fillet steak of a brownie, and I was like, I'll take that, thank you very much. So it's mostly for the purposes of the shop. It's little, they're not little, but stacks of things. And then we've also got a Mr. Whippy ice cream machine, so people can come in on the same with the pay as you can, and they can have ice cream, they can make it a boat, a cone, a sundae, whatever they want. We've got loads of toppings, and again, that's on the pay as you can as well.
Super. Where can we find you then?
So I am on West Heath Road in Northfield. I do have a lot of customers from the Black Country. I've got guys come from Dudley and Oldbury, and hopefully I'll be able to come to them soon. West Heath Road in Northfield, by the big co-op and the Texaco garage. We're open Friday 10 till 2 and Saturday 10 till 3. And hopefully Happiness Project funding will be able to open a little bit more for people to come and use our services.
Lovely. Well, I drive through Northfield when I go to the BBC.
Nice.
Which is down in Selly Oak. So if it's on a Friday, I shall come in and have a rummage.
Please do.
And you've got a website, haven't you, as well, Lucy?
I have, yep. It's www.lilsparlour.co.uk.
Where did the name come from?
I was just about... Oh, you know, I was going to segue that. I nearly beat you to it. So Lil was my nan. Long story short, I'm from a very, very working-class family. Both my nans were very unusual for their time. They both owned businesses.
Wow.
So Audrey from Billsley, some people might know her because it was quite a famous little chip shop, had a chip shop. And Lil, my dad's mom, had a grocer's.
Hmm.
So they were both female business owners. And it was when I was choosing the name for the business, it was either Audrey or Lil. And God bless Audrey, she was amazing. But Lil just slid off the tongue better. So it was Lil's Parlour. But it definitely got to be something with a family connection, just reminding me where I came from, where my family came from, and that when you work hard, you can achieve stuff.
What you might also consider doing is if you make a very bespoke product line, you could just call it the Audrey's.
Audrey's,
A range of products from the Audrey's range.
And it's really nice that name is becoming... I've got a couple of customers with little girls called Audrey now, and it's quite nice how that name's coming back into fashion, I think.
For people who aren't internet users, can we ring you?
I don't have a phone number at the moment.
So
if I'm completely...
It is the website then.
But I'm sure you can email me at lilsparlour@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I'm sure if you leave a phone number, I'll happily call you back.
Lovely. So lilsparlour at gmail.com. Your website, lilsparlour.co.uk.
That's correct.
Lucy Scott from Lils Parlour. Thank you, Parlour. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.